Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to the BravoFly Roomba Group Newswires conference call. I'm Selena, the conference call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Fabio Cannavale, Chairman of BravoFly Roomba Group. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everyone. This is Fabio Cannavale, Chairman of BravoFly Roomba Group. I welcome you to the conference call update and to the today announcement. Francesco Signoretti, CEO of the company, and Gaspar Santoja, CFO, are joining me on the call. I note that this call contains forward-looking statements. Before we have a look to half-year figures, let me quickly comment on recent developments. We have completed the IPO at the Swiss Exchange in a volatile market environment. We have seen strong demand from institutional investors ahead of the IPO. Of course, we expected a different development of our share price in the short term, but we believe in the long term value of the group. I am happy to be the largest shareholder, having sold the minimum amount of shares at the IPO. Let me remind you the three pillars of our strategy. We want to broaden the product offering. We will expand into other geographic markets. We will invest in our mobile and meta search capabilities. We see good potential for organic growth, also in the current market environment. And we are evaluating acquisition opportunities that should facilitate the growth, both in flight and not flight product categories. We are aligned to all shareholders with our goals to create the long-term value for the company. We are continuing in the path of a strong growth, and in these 10 years facing new challenges, we always decided to prioritize the growth in volume to support our strategy. This is what is happening in also this year. If you look, today we have published a presentation and a press release containing the main facts. You will find all information also published on our website. If you look at the presentation, the slide one, in this presentation you can see that expected gross travel value at the end of this year is 1.3 million versus 1 billion 51 million in last year. Due to the different business model of JetCost, the metasearch we acquired last December, the volume growth is fully organic, facilitated by strong expansion outside our core market, where we get plus 67% versus last year. For me, as a main shareholder, this is a very important figure because volumes and large customer base are key for our long-term profit. Now I ask Francesco Signoretti to give you some insight of the current market trends.
Good morning to everybody. I will go through some of the data for the first half, so go to page two of the presentation. First of all, our gross travel value. Our gross travel value for first half will be 643 million of euro, so up 22% from last year, from first half of last year, that was 525 million euro. The number of bookings increased by 16%, so from almost 1.5 million to 1.746 million of bookings. The company recorded as well preliminary revenues of 71 million of euro for the first 6 months of this year, and this is compared to the 60 million of last year, implying a year-on-year growth of 20%. Of course, our revenues did increase significantly thanks to the contribution of JetCost, the beta search that we acquired in December of last year. And JetCost contributed to such a growth with 6 euro of million of third-party revenues, so net of intra-group revenues. The growth has been stimulated by strong expansion outside our core market, so plus 67%. While we were confronted with a more challenging environment in our core markets, Italy, Spain, and France, where we grew by 9%. And we registered a very different trend in the revenue of growth between Q1 and Q2 of this year. In Q1, we grew up 37%, and in Q2, the growth slowed down to 8%. Finally, the adjusted EBITDA is around 12 million for the first half year of this year, compared to 11 million of the first 6 months of last year. We expect markets to be challenging in the second half of the year, in which we currently expect volumes, revenue, and adjusted EBITDA in absolute figures to be aligned to the results recorded in the first half of the year. Let's go to page 4 of the presentation to show the dynamics of Q2 of this year to better explain what happened, which is the difference between Q1 and Q2. During Q2, we experienced, especially in our core markets in Spain and Italy, a more aggressive competition from some follower competitors, with aggressive pricing policy that is supporting the strong growth of selected meta search players. The result of this is more competition for the traffic and higher pressure on pricing, in particular also in the paid marketing channels. I would explain a little more in detail which are the mechanism and the relationship between OTAs and MetaSearch and how it impacts our business environment. So if you go to page 5, as you for sure know, the MetaSearch business model is the one that aggregates and compares several providers, so both airlines and OTAs, and then once the user has chosen the preferred solution, it's directed to the chosen provider site to complete the booking. And of course, the MetaSearch player is paid for such a lead. We have been leveraging a lot on MetaSearch to boost our growth, especially outside our core markets, so in new markets. And we know that also the MetaSearch business model is strongly based on OTA revenues that represent the major part of the revenues of the MetaSearch. So the new is that some selected MetaSearchers have changed the approach during the Q2, and this resulted in acceleration of growth much faster than expected, and also in pressure on our margins. So for sure, there's been a major focus, a stronger focus of selected MetaSearch on volumes rather than short-term profitability. For example, there's been increased disintermediation in this new approach of low-cost flights. That despite zero or very limited monetization from a MetaSearch perspective, since Q2, some of them began to prioritize low-cost airline routing traffic to low-cost airlines, direct sites, rather than to the OTAs, as it was the case up to Q1. They also increased some pressure on all OTAs inside the MetaSearch to, let's say, increase the comparability of the first, leading to a pressure on the price competition, and some competitors, let's say, adopted very aggressively this kind of approach. So the impact on OTAs has been an expected faster acceleration of deselected MetaSearch, so also resulting in more competition for acquiring the end user at the beginning of the process of the searching, and impacting mainly paid channels, and clearly a channel mix change, so with cannibalization that reduce our profitability. We've been implemented some actions in the first queue in order to sustain volumes, but clearly this resulted in an increase of marketing spend in our core countries. And in terms of pricing pressure, while we have been resisting in Italy and France, we have selectively reduced prices in Spain, where the competition has been even tougher. Let's go to page six, just to analyze other dynamics in our market and other channels. So regarding search engine optimization, SEO, and direct traffic, these traffic channels for us has been pretty steady in our core markets. We did not register any negative impact in our core counties due, for example, to a change of Google search engine algorithms, except for jet cost, where we have such an impact of Google change. From the regulatory standpoint, we have ongoing discussions with some local authorities across Europe. We have always been very receptive of the indication of such authorities, and in the last few months we did implement such requests without any material impact coming from this kind of implementation. Of course, what we are experiencing, being an international company present in more than 35 countries, is that the local authorities not always have coherent and similar requests, and it is for us pretty difficult to manage. But so, in that sense, let's say a legal international harmonization would really benefit, especially to play international players like us, in order to face also more aggressive policies of our competitors. Let's see also some key strategic action we have in place. So page seven. Let's start from the flight OTA business. Experiencing more competition, clearly the conversion for us it's always been one the most important KPI. It's even more important right now, and we are working hard in order to provide a better user experience on our website, trying to driving up a higher conversion in all the different channels. So this is particularly true for the mobile, that is a very fast growing channel, and we do expect to release a significant upgrade of our mobile site before the end of this year. So we are going to increase the conversion, especially mobile. The second part is clearly the international plans that, as we recorded in the first half, is still driving our growth. We are investing in technology in order to industrialize and to speed up the process of rolling out new websites and adaptation to new languages. We are continuing to integrate local low-cost airlines in order to have always a very competitive product offer in all our geographical areas. And we are also giving access to competitive fares of international airlines to local customers in order to be very competitive also outside our core countries in terms both of product and in terms of technology. Non-flight business, this is clearly a clear priority of growth and a strategic priority. We're continuing to invest in the development of our dynamic travel package platform. We have extended successfully our business model that is a combination of online and offline sales also to Spain that has been successful, and we are working a lot, especially in DMA, in M&A sector, in order to find out new opportunities of growth, especially in the vacation and leisure business. Last but not least, we have clearly ambitious expansion plans also for our own metasearch operator, JetCost. That's a key driver for higher revenues. And we, in terms of new developments for JetCost, the focus is again also for JetCost mobile, and we are releasing soon a new mobile optimized site and also a new release of the iPhone, iPad, iOS application. Now I would like to ask Fabio again to give you some insight on our strategic vision for the future.
Yes, as we presented also before the IPO, our strategy is focused on three main axes: internationalization in new country, broaden our offer of services, and
to be very good in all the kind of device, mobile and the new one. So on that we are growing in new country. We are establishing our brand in the new entrant market like Australia, Philippines, Russia and Singapore. But we are also looking at the opportunities in new regions like Middle East and South America. While in the core market, that is Italy, France and Spain, we are working to develop better our TOE, modern tour operator products. And on that, we are also this year facing a very good growth, as Francesco said. And then last but not least, as we see in always we are at page 8, we are developing the new tools to better communicate to our customer, so not only the desktop, but to be very strong also in all the mobile site and mobile application. If you look at page 9, we can see how do we expect to grow in the future. So we will combine our strengths. We will expand with a jet cost and meta search business model in new regions too. We continue offering our OTA services in Europe as well in Asia. And we are developing our expertise and as excellent as a modern tour operator in our core market, leveraging on our exclusive technology and large customer base. That we will be also helped by our M&A acquisition. We work a lot in this last month on M&A opportunity, and we interrupted some of the, let's say, target, the negotiation with the target we were looking, because we didn't find the right balance between opportunity, risk, and valuation. We have, at the moment, very advanced opportunity. Currently, we are discussing in a European country, in North European country, and all these opportunities are related to vacation and leisure business. That is the focus for our growth for the future. Now, we look forward to answering your question, and we keep the line to the operator too.
The first question comes from Mrs. Katrina O'Grady from UBS. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. I've got three quick questions. The first one is, can you give any color around when you think the changes that you're making, such as the investment in the user experience on the website and the rollout of the new apps, can you give any color on when you think that's going to positively impact trading? The second one is, you might not be able to give an absolute percentage of how much MetaSearch revenue is in terms of traffic from MetaSearch, but are you able to confirm whether it's above the 16% share of traffic or below the 16% share of traffic? And my final question is around the gross travel value per booking seems to have gone up versus last year. Can you just talk a little bit around why you think that's happened? Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the question. I think Francesco will answer about the first part and then the first part.
Okay, so the first part is when we will see impact of the new developments. I mean, we are testing right now in a very limited environment, but already in production, the changes that we have implemented in the booking flow, especially for the mobile. But in my mind, I would expect it by the end of the year, beginning of next year, impact on this kind of change, because it's going to be fully tested and, let's say, extended to hold the possible situation or the possible exception of the product. So I would say by the end of the year, beginning of the next one. The second question was the MetaSearch growth. Clearly, the MetaSearch growth has been has grown more than proportionally, so more than 16%. We are not providing specific data right now in this trading update. The first question was.
It was around the gross travel value per booking.
Yes. I would say that it's clearly One effect is clearly inflation, I would say. It's an increase of prices of the airlines tickets, and also a better mix in terms of product between flights and other non-flights products that have higher average tickets.
Sorry to complete. If we catch well, you ask if Metasearch represent more than 15% of the traffic. The answer is yes. Metasearch is growing. Our plan, plan, we knew that Metasearch were growing, that they are growing more than expected. Of course, it was much higher than 15% already in the new countries. Was lower last year, and this year is growing also in our core market.
And just to confirm that, because I asked in terms of, as a percentage of revenue, is it more than 16% of your revenue that is coming through from Metasearch? And the answer to that is yes.
Correct. The fact is that Metasearch has higher conversion because there is piece of the search process that has already been completed at the Metasearch stage. So by definition, the conversion of Metasearch tends to be higher than the other channels.
Thank you very much. That's very clear. Thanks.
The next question comes from Mr. Felix Remmers from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, I was on mute, sorry. I have also three questions. First question is if you are willing to share some more data points. I was wondering if you can give any indication on the margin development in Q1 versus Q2 and also the organic growth rates in Q2 in Italy and Spain in particular. The second question would be on the outlook for the second half of the year. I mean, you had a decent Q1 and a weaker Q2, and if I would extrapolate, you know, just the Q2 numbers into the full year, then it seems to be that you're expecting a turnaround or something like that competition will ease going forward, or is it just seasonality which will help you to have a similar result in the second half of the year? And the third question I have is on the competitors, the new competitors. I just was wondering if they also are able to offer multi-carrier flights.
Cisco.
I don't know, it's probably the first one, Gaspar, on the margin. Mm-hmm.
Yes, in terms of profitability, we saw the same trends that we saw at the level of revenues. I mean, the Q1 in terms of profitability was significantly higher in growth compared to last year, so more than proportionally. So the dynamics of revenues and profitability, we should say that they are aligned to between them.
In terms of organic growth, clearly the overall performance of Q2, we have slowed down our growth, and this was mainly impacted by slowdown of growth in our core countries. So the organic growth in core countries has significantly reduced from previous quarter. And outlook for the future. We have said that we are foreseeing a second half of the year in line in absolute terms of the first half of the year. So it's not just a pure extrapolation of Q2.
I can add a little bit of color. First of all, we would expect that part of the pricing pressure to reduce following the end of the high season. I would also say that in Q2, in Q2, we had also some inefficiencies as there were significant changes in the market dynamics or marketing models and pricing models had to be adapted, and probably we were not able to settle down to the new context in an efficient way from day one. And we could say that historically as well, the second half of the year tends to be stronger than the first half of the year.
Final question regarding multi-carrier flights. It depends, competitor by competitor. Some they have, some they don't. But I would say in general, clearly the say, the range of products that we can offer is, in average, of a higher quality and more complete than smaller and follower competitors can typically do. But it depends competitor by competitor.
Thank you very much. Maybe one follow-up, if I may. What makes you feel comfortable that the pricing pressure will ease following the high season? And when is the high season actually over?
Well, the high season is going to mid of August, let's say. We are doubtful that such aggressiveness in terms of pricing policies can last forever. It's pretty strong in this moment. Clearly, if someone is looking for volumes, we do expect that this kind of approach is more concentrated in high season, so the expectation is that after the high season with the higher volumes, it could slow down. But we cannot say for sure, but it's just an expectation because we have doubt about the sustainability of such an approach.
Okay, yeah, many thanks.
The next question is from Mr. Matthew Seger from Mirabeau. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a question to this pricing pressure. Actually, who did start the pricing pressure? Was that the meta search engine that started to change the business model, or was that the OTAs which list the prices on meta search that they more aggressive on the pricing? When I scan now on Skyscanner, you see that you offer your prices at a certain discount. So was that actually the OTAs that started with that, or was that the meta search engine that asked the OTAs to offer better prices? And now if you assume that after the high season, this pricing pressure will disappear, would that come from the OTAs that reduce the rebate on the meta search, which would again increase your margin? That would be my question.
Okay, the quality of the call was very bad. But as far as I understood, you asked which are the meta search and the OTAs that are putting pressure. Examples. Did I get correctly?
Yeah, actually, that's correct. Yes.
Okay.
Is it OTAs that started price pressure, or was it the meta search engine like Skyscanner that asked the OTAs to change the business model?
Okay. I try to restate more clearly what I tried to explain during the presentation. For sure, Skyscanner, for example, was one of the selected meta search who has changed the approach in April, May, and for example, increasing the traffic directed to low cost airlines that up to end of March and initial of April, we were getting a lot of bookings from this. So this was one of the changes that was implemented in this case by Skyscanner. Then it's been also implemented some more aggressive, competition, the easiness of comparison between OTA prices. For example, guaranteeing always promotional prices be fully comparable between the OTA. And then at that point, this is from May, new follower competitors started to follow aggressively these new approaches, lowering prices. And in these cases, we are talking about local players. Could be examples like the Greek ones, like AirTickets or Tripstar, or in Spain, Travelgenio, or as well as also TUI in Italy, for example. Then, sorry, again, the quality was really bad. Apart from the examples, you were also asking about the next...
Very sorry, my line is as well very bad. I'm in vacation currently, so very sorry.
I'm happy for you.
Question. I had to take a rest after the Bravo slide set my book. Enjoy it and all the best for the future.
Okay, thank you
very much.
The next question is from Andrea Ferraz from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, I have two questions, please. The first question is that it looks like your core market revenues have actually declined by around 4% in H1. Have you seen declines in Spain, Italy, and France, or is it just Spain? Can you give us a bit more color by geography? The second question is on a comment you've made earlier. You've said that now promotional prices are fully comparable for OTAs on metasearch websites like Skyscanner. Can you help us understand specifically what you mean by that? From looking at the website, it seems to me that that all the OTAs are now showing the prices, including zero for the fees on Visa credit cards. Is that correct? Or debit cards, sorry.
Okay. So regarding the first part of the she's saying that we are experiencing...
The question regarding the growth, internal growth, I understand, Andrea, in core markets, in Italy and Spain, and in Italy and Spain, we saw basically very minor decrease in revenues in terms of internal growth in the first half of the year. This was mainly driven by the performance of the second quarter. And basically, if we have to say which is the country which has more difficulty, probably we could say it is Spain.
Spain, for sure, yes. The second point is regarding the fully comparability. Yes, clearly the prices are shown, the promotional prices that are shown on the MetaSearch are typically related to some payment methods for which you can provide such a lower price. And for each country has been more and more the pressure from a selected MetaSearch in order to enlarge the number of payment methods that can provide such a lower price. This is clearly impacting the average revenues we can get, but at the end it will also impact in terms of the revenues that can arrive to the MetaSearch. I remember that the MetaSearch revenues are based primarily on the OTA revenues.
Sorry, on the point before about the 16% of traffic last year coming from MetaSearch, can you give us an indication for how much of that came from your own MetaSearch tech cost?
Well, we're
thinking
it's not an immediate calculation. It is mainly important in the French market. In the French market, JetCost is the main contributor of traffic.
It's the leader MetaSearch in that count.
Yeah, correct. In the other country, it's not relevant for our
country. Still, the contribution of object cost is still limited.
Yes, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Okay, if there is no other question.
We have some last-minute registration. The first one is from Mr. Davide Rimini from Eurasian Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I'd like to ask you questions regarding your decision to announce today a 10 million euro buyback. I was just wondering whether you could give a little more color on the background of that decision, whether that has changed your M&A strategy. And lastly, in terms of technicalities, how long it will take to implement that buyback process. So far as I understand, you will need sort of a Swiss authority approval for that one. Thank you.
Is Gaspar Santonja, the CFO, speaking. We believe that the buyback is a financially efficient and investor-friendly way to cover the future needs of capital of shares of the company in order to cover, for instance, management incentive plans and also as an exchange of for future acquisitions. What we have done is we have gotten pre-authorization by the board of directors to the management to discuss with the Swiss authorities, the Swiss Takeover Panel, in order to implement it. We believe that this can be implemented before mid of September, so before the release of the full results of the first half of the year. The amount of euro of money that we are going, that was authorized by the board, is relatively limited. We are talking on about 10 million euros that vis-a-vis our net financial position, we believe it is not going, it is not impacting the capabilities of M&A that we have got. I mean, it doesn't, we don't read them together as the amount of money is very, very limited. In terms of process, just to confirm this again, it is not best practice to implement a buyback in period of blackout of insider trading. We are now inside the trading blackout period, so I can confirm by definition there will not be any share bought in the market before the 16th of September. In terms of timing in order to implement it, there are some rules in the Swiss market that limit the number of shares that can be bought any day of trading. That number of shares cannot be more than 25% of the average trading volumes in the 30 days before the announcement of the buyback. So it is not it will last for a period of time, definitely.
And sorry, just a sort of clarification. So once started, it will probably sort of have you given any sort of time to implement that sort of 10 million buyback? Or
the standard is to ask for the authorization to the authorities for a long period of time because it is expensive and takes time. We believe that probably can be completed in the three following months after the announcement.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Andy Schneider from Z Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi there. I'm sorry, but I was a bit late on the call. I didn't know if you already answered that. Could you give us some more color on the quarterly margin development? What was the EBITDA margin in the first quarter and in the second?
Yes, I mean, we spoke about that before. We said that the dynamics were similar to the dynamics we saw in terms of revenues. So we saw a clear substantial increase in the first quarter, and the dynamics in the second quarter were aligned to the profit, to the revenues.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Patrick Wellington from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, everybody. I just wanted to go back to the guidance. You had a strong Q1. You've had a relatively weak Q2, and yet your guidance for the full year assumes that the second half matches the first half. So I suppose my question is, why aren't you forecasting off the base of Q2 as your forward run rate? My second question is just on contingency plan. Should the pricing pressure not improve, do you have any other contingency plan to sustain profitability? And I suppose number three is, again, on the pricing pressure, what lead indicators would you advise us to look out for to indicate that pricing pressure is beginning to alleviate post the high season? What sign should we be looking out for that it has indeed started to come off as you predict? Thanks.
On the first question, the forecast was not initially based on Q2. We are expecting to begin to look at some of the action we are doing in the last quarter, and also some expectation of changing of competition after the end of the season.
As I said before, Patrick, in the second half of the year tends to be a little bit better in general in the market than the first half of the year. There has been historically the evolution in our group. It is not a huge difference, but there is a small difference on that. And second, as we said, the dynamics changed significantly. The market dynamics in the second quarter. We have marketing models and pricing models, and those models effectively were set up for a certain level of competition. Those models have had to be adjusted, yeah. And in this period of time, in the last months, we have been doing quite a lot of changes and probably the best solution has not necessarily been the best solution. So there are also terms of inefficiency of coping with such a dynamic market. So we probably have overinvested in some places, and probably we have underinvested in other places.
Right.
So this is something that we believe that it is not going to be sustainable by definition. So we understand the market a little bit, what is going on, what are the right answers to that. It is much clearer to us now than it was 2 months ago. That is clearly the case.
There was another question, I think.
Dynamics, what should we be looking out for in terms of the relief of that pricing pressure? How can we tell externally that that's going on? Is there anything we should be looking out for?
Just 1 second, because I'm not sure we...
Can you rephrase the question?
Could you rephrase that question? Because we are not sure to have completely understood what you're asking. Sorry about that.
Obviously, you've got pricing pressure at the moment. You're hoping it finishes at the end of the high season. What indicators should we be looking for to show that reduction of pricing pressure is coming through? How will we be able to tell?
So, if it's not going... I do see, as I said, we are really doubtful of the sustainability of such policies, aggressive policies. We are in the position to defend ourselves and in terms of solidity in order to be ready to compete on this. For sure, we are not going to go for a strong price war. So we're trying to recover volumes on different channels. But again, I have a strong doubt of the sustainability in the medium term of such a strong aggressive policy.
I mean, to your question, which is regarding, and if I understood correctly, what you can perceive from outside on the market in order to assess the level of competition, I think it's extremely difficult, unfortunately, for you to assess because...
Outside in, sorry, I didn't get the point.
So, it's a very complex market. There are many channels, there are many countries. It is not straightforward, and you need a lot of data. And the best data is what you see when you in certain channels you see the performance, and you can test different pricing policies, and according to the pricing policies you can perceive which is the sensitivities on that. You can perceive that obviously if a small changes in prices down increase volume significantly, it's obviously it means that there is still a lot of pressure on volumes on pricing.
Yeah, I would also add, in terms of complexity of understanding the real competition, that one of the things that we are working on is trying to increase our capability to extract more value, especially from cross-selling activities, not necessarily linked to the first booking, say, for the first transaction. So this is an investment in technology, especially, again, in mobile, that we are working hard in order to allow us to, let's say, rebalance the margins between the markup or you can have from a single flight, standalone flight, and additional revenues that you can extract from the customer in a second phase. So this is adds more complexity in understanding the capability to compete in such a market.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mrs. Haley Chen from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you very much for taking my question. So I've got two quick ones. You mentioned that JetCost was impacted by Google ranking change. Is this impact on paid search, i.e. keyword bidding on Google, or purely on the SEO side? And my second question is, apologies for dwelling on the pricing pressure point, but are the smaller players putting on a lower price on metasearch and a higher price on their own websites, as in customers need to pay a higher end price than initially showed on Meta, or are the smaller players just selling below cost? Thank you.
Okay, regarding the impact of Google change, we're talking mainly about search engine optimization, so SEO. This has been on JetCost. As I said during the conference, this not had any negative impact at all on the OTA business, so on our traditional business. Regarding the pricing, say real pricing, this is, in all the meta searches right now, I would say that the prices are, the pricing rules are the same for everybody. So that's the point. I think that these follower competitors are forced to apply a lower price in order to gain volumes that are, at the end, the real price in a higher percentage of the sales. So exactly like for all the players in the meta search, because this is what the meta search are pretty actively controlling, that everybody is playing fair.
Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Andy Schneider from Z Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Two quick ones, and I hope that they weren't caught before. So how much of this 8 million revenue growth in the other markets, in the new markets, was organic, and how much is from the JetCost acquisition? And then in there, how much of the organic growth is actually coming from existing markets, which were launched, let's say, last year or the years before, and how much is from the entrance into new markets? If you could split that and give us a little bit more light on that, that would be great. And then the second question is, with the H1 results in September, will we get a P&L or, let's say, a margin for every region? I mean, that would be really helpful to understand and assess the business.
Okay, I start to answer regarding JetCost and the growth in the international markets. JetCost did not contribute significantly in terms of growth in the new markets. So mainly the growth in new markets has been organic, I would say the vast majority. Then you asked if it was existing or new countries. I mean, it's a continuous process, so it's hard to say because it's a rolling ball. We are adding constantly new countries, new languages, and we open new markets. So for sure, this part is very important, but it's a process. It's almost a never-ending process, and so I cannot say right now how much it was coming from the more than 12 years countries, rather 12 months, sorry, countries versus the recently launched. I would expect that is much more on the previous one, because typically you get some time in order to begin to produce volumes. So the second part of the, sorry?
Am I right that you launched like 4 markets, Australia, Philippines, Russia, and Singapore this year?
Well, we launched the Norwegian site, Indonesian one, probably even more than 4. Then you also asked about content of the September communication.
Yeah, transparency on the regional margins.
We are going to provide our segment reporting will be based in 2 segments. One is OTA, so the old Bravofly Rumbo Group business, and the second segment is the meta search business. So this is how our segment works. and that is the level of detail that we will provide also in the interim report.
Okay, and probably as a follow-up, by entering these new markets, is it still the case that all these new market entrances are coming without any losses? So are all these operations, do you confirm that all these operations are still break-even at least?
Yes, that is the case. Obviously, the profitability on the new markets is lower than in the core markets. We explained that obviously when you have to build up a customer base, you are not able to have the same type of profits that you would get in the existing markets. But, I mean, we don't have losses.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, as there are no other call before we close this other question before we close this call, let me thank you for your interest in BravoFly Rumbo Group. We are fully committed to our strategy and work for the execution of it day by day. We will be happy to welcome you on the next conference call in mid-September. Let me thank you for attending and good day to all. Goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.